This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Thursday night where we have checks his notes football tonight, if that's what we want to call the Hall of Fame game. The Canton, Ohio Hall of Fame game, ladies and gentlemen. And we've seen market movement on the total. No big surprise there, as it was as high as 36.5 earlier in the week. Now, over our shoulder here at Circa for Cardinals and Panthers, Matt Eumanns, down to 34. And you, sir, have a bet on the total.
Bet the under 35.5. Talked about that yesterday with Mitch and Paul. Just a small bet tonight. But it is football season. Football is back, and you can feel it here in the sportsbook tonight, which is starting to fill up a little bit. Now, some of that has to do with Bet Bash here at Circa Resort and Casino. You're seeing a lot of well-known figures in the sports betting industry walking around here today. But it does feel like football's back. Yes, it's the Panthers and the Cardinals in Canton, Ohio, but it's still a football game for the first time since February, Tim. I logged on to the odds screen today, and a football game was at the top of the screen.
Isn't that a beautiful sight?
It is. Carolina, Arizona. Number is 1.5. Panthers favored. One here at Circa. Total down to 33.5 or 34. It was as high as 36.5 at DraftKings early this week, but it's great to have football back. And we're going to have 21 consecutive Thursday nights with a football game starting tonight.
Man, that made me feel good thinking about that. So, also, 3 weeks from Saturday, we'll have the start of the college football season. It couldn't be me without mentioning the college football right around the corner. But a lot of NFL talk today. I made two bets today in the futures market we'll talk about later on in the show. One offensive rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. No, not Jeremiah Love. And one defensive rookie of the year. Made one of them here at Circa. So we'll talk about some of our favorite bets. Obviously, our VSiN college, our NFL guide has been out for a while. Our college football guide is out right now. But Matt, I want to ask you a question because, you know, you seem like you're in a good mood. Football is back. You couldn't have possibly had the Toronto Blue Jays today, because if you had the Toronto Blue Jays, you would have came in here with a rotten mood.
I had the Blue Jays. Yes. I bet the Blue Jays. But I'm not pissed off about it. I also I had two plays up on the VSiN Pro page in baseball this morning. The first was the Reds. The Reds tried to blow the game. They were up 6-3 in the ninth, and they won 6-5. So got the first one in. I had the Blue Jays at minus 115. Dylan Cease was sensational for seven innings. Bullpen blew it in the ninth. Blue Jays lose 3-2 and 11. Hey, that happens. You bet baseball, that's going to happen.
Alex Bregman with two outs in the ninth in a 2-0 game launches a two-run homer. Mm-hmm. 96% chance of winning entering the ninth inning, leading 2-0. But yes, you bet baseball. You know what you've signed yourself up for.
Yeah.
But going back to that just real quickly, Cubs win again. And, you know, we were talking to, I believe Colin Murphy, a friend of VSiN outside. And he was listening to the show a couple nights ago. And your hedge off of the Brewers in the division. The Brewers keep winning. They won again today. But the Cubs, man, they sweep the Dodgers. Clearly a tricky spot today against Dylan Cease. Off of the sweep of the Dodgers, they find a way to win. These two teams are in an epic battle, it feels like, for the NL Central.
Well, the Brewers won a couple of games here. They had to win against the Pirates in Milwaukee. You got to win games like that. And they did. Well, the Cubs have been hot. And I got the Brewers plus 275 to win the division from the preseason. And I think it's going to be a photo finish, a race to the wire. And the Cubs, really one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. The Red Sox and the Cubs, two of the hottest teams. And I see no reason the Cubs are not going to keep this up. They made bold moves at the deadline. They made moves that are going to help this team. They're playing with confidence. Cubs are going to continue to win. I do think it's going to be a race to the wire. So I did bet the Cubs at plus 410 as a hedge to win the division. And I think it's going to be a sweat. I'd prefer to win the Brewers bet, That obviously means more to me in the preseason. But the Cubs and the Brewers is going to be a race to the wire. And I think the Cubs are a team you definitely have to take seriously in the postseason, too.
Brewers win 5-2 earlier today. Dustin May in his Brewers debut. Strong outing, 6 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, struck out 5. I did see some of the jokes on social media after that start saying, who needs Tarik Skubal? Look at his first start with the Dodgers. And look at Dustin May's first start with the Milwaukee Brewers. But he did pitch well today. Brewers, as you alluded to, Matt, had some games that they needed to take care of business, and they were able to do so. Paul Skeens, once again, struggles yesterday. Kyle Harrison goes 5 innings, strikes out 10, leaves the game. People were worried. It's just cramps, so he should be fine. So the Brewers, 72-43. Cubs, 67-49. Matt, coming up in just a little bit, we got a lot of football to talk about. But let's hit on real quickly the Boston Red Sox. The red-hot Boston Red Sox. The run has just been absolutely unreal. What we've seen from this Boston team. They have won 7 in a row. I believe, what is it now, 33-8 in their last 41 games?
Well, I think the most impressive number is they're 25-3 in the last 28. 25-3 in the last 28. Yesterday, I had a bet on the Red Sox. I thought they were cheap. Sonny Gray at minus 120. Today, the price is a little bit too high for me. I did not play the Red Sox. White Sox, Red Sox at Fenway, Castillo, Suarez, and Boston minus 187 here at Circa. So I did get priced out of playing that one tonight.
Castillo's debut as a member of the Chicago White Sox. Do I pull a Krusty the Clown? They were due. Do I bet against the Boston Red Sox? That game starts here in just a little bit. A lot of day baseball today. Only a handful of games to come tonight. You know what? You can't go up against the Hall of Fame game. So let's circle back to it because, of course, we've got a football game. That, indeed, is the biggest game of the evening.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals. This is your Hall of Fame game. Kickoff around 8 o'clock Eastern in Canton, Ohio. Right now, the Carolina Panthers, who will be starting Kenny Pickett at quarterback. They are a slight favorite against the Arizona Cardinals. The biggest movement here, the screen not indicating it, is the under. We have seen money come in on the under. No real surprise. Matt, you have a play on the under. Carson Beck gets a start for the Arizona Cardinals. Jeremiah Love, third overall pick, will not play tonight for the Arizona Cardinals.
Never thought he was going to play. If you're surprised he's not playing, you're not paying attention. You didn't think he was going to play, did you?
No.
Someone asked me yesterday, do you think the Cardinals are a good bet here? Because Dave Canales, coach of the Carolina Panthers, has got a poor preseason record. He's shown that he doesn't care about the preseason. In fact, the last 2 years, the Panthers in the preseason have scored 11.7 points per game. I think they've lost 5 of 6. And Canales said he's going to play no starters.
0-6 ATS, to your point, since the preseason back in 2024. No NFL coach has been less profitable because he has won you no money. That would be Dave Canales.
You can't do worse than never winning a game. But Canales says he's going to play no starters. And that might be a message to some about the Cardinals. I thought about it. And then I saw that Twitter meme today of highlights from Arizona Cardinals training camp. Did you happen to see that?
No, I did not.
It was a football follies video of quarterbacks getting sacked, throwing picks, receivers dropping passes, Jeremiah Love in the open field fumbling the ball for no reason. The Cardinals looked so clumsy in this video. I said, okay, I'm not going to bet this team. Are you watching it now?
Yeah.
I said, okay, believe it or not. It's pretty bad. Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew going to be on the sideline tonight for Arizona. It's going to be Carson Beck and Keaton Slovis. I'm not buying the Carson Beck hype coming out of camp. He's looked so great.
There's hype?
There's this hype. It's like, he's looked great in camp so far. I'm not buying
no
it.
No, thanks.
Not buying it. Mike LaFleur, coach of the Cardinals, probably would like to win tonight. You know, any new coach wants to get things off on the right foot, but easier said than done here. I think this is just sets up for probably a clumsy football game in general because you got mediocre and inexperienced quarterbacks, and when you have quarterbacks like this, Tim, they need to be helped out by big-time playmakers. Well, guess what? All those playmakers are going to be on the sideline tonight. So you've got Kenny Pickett and you've got Carson Beck, and they're going to start, and they're going to be playing with backup running backs, backup receivers, backup offensive linemen. I think it's going to be more difficult for the offenses to move tonight, and it's just probably going to be a dull game. Hopefully it's going to be a dull game. I played this under 35.5.
Yeah, we'll see if there are live betting opportunities. Mitch Moss, leaving the studio, said, I want an in-depth breakdown, thorough throughout the game, of live betting opportunities.
Well, we will.
Yeah. If there is some scoring early on, maybe we look for a live under in this one. So I don't have a pregame bet, but I will figure out a way to bet this game from an in-game standpoint. Game kicks off in less than an hour. And other side of the break, with football in the air, Matt, let's talk about some of our favorite plays so far heading into the NFL season, which will be here before we know it, about a month away from the start of the NFL season. The Patriots and Seahawks will start on September 9th. Remember, that's the Wednesday. Wednesday, September 9th is the start of the NFL season this year. And then we have that Thursday game down in Australia with the Rams and the 49ers. But tonight, the Hall of Fame game, our game of the night, Arizona Cardinals going with Carson Beck, the third round pick. And would it have been Ty Simpson, Matt, if they had had their hope of getting Ty Simpson? Instead, the Rams were able to grab him earlier in that first round.
I can't believe we don't have more picks on this game on the VSIM Pro page. Our primetime game of the night, I've got the under. Brandon Kravitz has got the Panthers. And Nick Whalen's got a prop on both teams rush for 100-plus yards. That's it? That's all we got in the pro page for the first football game of the season?
Step it up, VSIN Pro. We need to do better. Well, I will have a live bet. I do have a couple bets that I made today. We'll talk about some of our favorite bets for the NFL season. Bottom of the hour, Todd Furman will join us. Drew Dinsick in studio. He'll join us at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk to our friend Todd Furman, talk a little NFL, a little college football with Todd of CBS Sports. Drew Dinsick in studio. I believe at this moment he is doing one of the panels up at Bet Bash. So Drew Dinsick will join us in studio coming up at 8 Eastern time, right when kickoff happens in the Hall of Fame game. Once again, our game of the night, Carolina Panthers, Arizona Cardinals. The NFL Thursday night schedule begins, what was it, Matt? 21 straight Thursdays with football?
How about that?
Ooh,
is that sweet?
Man, feels good. We're getting close. We're getting close, boys and girls. And it starts tonight. Hall of Fame game, the Arizona Cardinals, a short dog in Canton, Ohio. Total has come down. Matt has a bet that he gave out yesterday with Mitch and Paul and Follow the Money under 35.5. Logged it over at VSiN.com as well. So a lot to get to, a lot of NFL chatter coming your way. But before we get there, Matt, I know you are a man who is a believer in his alma mater.
Just stop.
Boilermakers.
I am a Purdue graduate.
You pound the big ass drum.
I'm not a believer.
You're a homer.
Not a believer that Purdue's going to win a national championship, especially in football. And very disappointed in what happened today with the new athletic director.
Well, I was impressed. I was very impressed by Tommy McClelland as he was introduced as the new head. As the new athletic director of Purdue. Let's play a small snippet to get the folks fired up and why you should be buying stock in the Boilermakers of Purdue.
Every recruit, every current student athlete will hear this message repeatedly. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana.
That's so stupid. Such a stupid statement.
Question.
I know.
Who's a national champion right now?
Kurt Cignetti in the Indiana Hoosiers. I mean, you told me 2 days ago, you saw the report that Purdue was zeroing in on Tommy McClelland, the Rice athletic director. And the first thing I said was, why the hell would you hire the Rice athletic director? You're in the Big Ten, the premier conference right now in the country. Why are you going to Rice? Has Rice been winning championships, Tim?
Don't think so, man.
Okay. So I'm not sure what made this guy qualified for the job, but the first day he's got the job, he steps up and makes an absolute fool of himself. You cannot talk trash to Kurt Cignetti. What are you doing?
It would be one thing if, you know, Cignetti wasn't there and Indiana hasn't won a national title in basketball right. since, what, 87? So, yeah,
long
you
time.
Could yeah, you could make jabs there. They literally won it the last football game of the season.
In
they
January.
Won the title
yeah.
this year, this
the
calendar year.
National champs. You
and
cannot make a comment like that.
Like if
ignorant.
It was, if it was 5 years ago, like, all right, that's a little weird. 10 years ago. It is this calendar year.
It was
the
seven,
last football game that happened.
7 months ago.
They had confetti falling down. And the best part is that, I don't know, I was going to call him something else, but that gentleman there, off the cuff, right? If you don't want to win national championships,
go to Indiana. Ah, boy, that's so bad. Embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
I'm sure Barry Odom's like, what are you doing?
I know. Barry Odom had to be going, shut up, fool.
Why?
Shut up.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah. You think Cignetti might remember that? He might be reminded of that when the teams play later in the season.
Cignetti's one of those. He's like Kirby Smart. He doesn't need any motivation.
No.
You give him one little morsel, and they'll utilize it the whole entire year.
That's a stupid statement in general. Why would you say that? And Tim, it goes back to 2 days ago when you told me the Rice AD is the top target of Purdue. And I said, why? Why would you hire the Rice athletic director? And now he just steps up and makes a fool of himself on the first day.
I mean, I know Cignetti did it, but he won. Just Google him.
Well, that is
did Tommy McClellan win at Rice?
Cignetti is the rarest of guys who showed up, talked trash, called his shot, and did it. Followed it up, backed it up. You can't play Cignetti's game with him.
Well, once again, it's like people, probably some of the fan base that I'm a part of, Notre Dame, like tried to take their shots at Cignetti for canceling the home and home with Notre Dame. Whatever, man. The dude just won a title. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Sure.
I would have loved that series to happen, but whatever he does, it works. 122-3, Matt, is the score of the Indiana-Purdue game since Cignetti showed up.
Another thing is, the last time Purdue won a Big Ten football game was the last game of the 2023 season.
Oh, my
Purdue
God.
Beat Indiana.
That
was the Tom Allen coached Indiana Hoosiers. Purdue won that game. Since then, Purdue's lost 18 straight Big Ten games.
Oh, my God.
Kurt Cignetti's crushed him twice in a row, and this fool stands up and says something like that. We're going to win.
You don't
want to
win championships.
Shut up. All right,
change the topic, Matt. We got NFL tonight, and we got time to talk about some best bets. Lines have moved, and I wanted to hit on a couple of things as we sit here, just getting us ready, getting the primer ready. As you said, when you look at the odds board, the first thing on the odds board today, isn't it great? The football game. Matt, as we sit here on August 6th, or about a month away, a little over a month away from the start of the regular season, you wrote up your best bets. You wrote up two divisions for the NFL guide, available at VSiN.com. By the way, you can get our college football guide and the NFL guide for $9.99. There is no cheaper preview magazine out there in the market than the college football betting guide. Check it out for as little as $9.99. But if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get all of our guides.
You know, to follow up on that point, the first college football magazine I bought was the worst one I bought. You know which one that was? The ESPN magazine.
I did not purchase that one.
Very smart decision. But that was the only one that was out, and I needed something to read on the airplane. I bought it. What a joke. And
The three best, in my opinion, they were all the last three. It was Phil Steele. It was Pick Six Previews, Brett Ciancia, and, of course, our preview magazine, which was the last. The latest information.
Yeah, someone on Twitter, and there are a lot of dumbasses on Twitter. Somebody had a comment this week, this magazine's coming out a month too late. No, that's not the point. The point is to get it out with the best current information. And that's why it's the most valuable of all the preview magazines, also written from a betting perspective. So shut down your stupid Twitter account. Anyway, this magazine...
I've got Matt fired up after playing that Purdue clip.
I still can't believe it. For $9.99, this thing's a steal. I paid, I think, $17 for the ESPN magazine, the preview magazine, and it's trash. It is.
345 pages.
I'll bring it in for you tomorrow if you want to check it out.
I'm good. I'm good. Okay. I'm good. I got enough. I got the magazines. I got the PDF on my laptop here. I got plenty of reading material. But as we sit here, I did make two bets today. Some long shot, a little bit of longer shots, not massive long shots. I'll get to those here in a moment. But Matt, as we sit here a month out, we got a team playing tonight in the Arizona Cardinals. How early did you bet your win total on the Arizona Cardinals, and what did you do with that?
So we put out the NFL magazine in June, and obviously we're going to do an update on that after the preseason. We do that every year. We put an update of our NFL magazine out at the end of August, and which I like because there's developing situations.
Injuries.
Handicapping's a fluid situation, all that. So after the preseason, we'll update this. But I did make the Cardinals bet in June. At the time, I said, I know it's a square bet. I don't like to play under the lowest totals on the board. But when you look at the Arizona Cardinals schedule and you look at the quarterback situation and a rookie head coach, toughest division in the NFL, you say, where are you going to find five wins? And the win total was 4.5. I said, if the Cardinals go 5-12 and beat me, tip your cap to the Cardinals. But, Tim, when you look at this schedule, where the hell are you going to find five wins? You might be able to find four. You know,
later on in the season?
Yeah, later in December, they're going to win a couple of games, most likely. They could pull an upset early, but I don't see this team getting to 5-12. I just don't see it happening. And by the way, the Cardinals finished last season on a 9-game losing streak, and during those 9 games, they had the worst defense in the NFL.
Who's going to be the quarterback? Offensive line seems to be a mess. You got a first-time head coach. Now, I will say with a first-time head coach, sometimes you'll have teams not quitting. Maybe they'll buy in later in the season. But, yeah, you look at the start of that season, also the latest bye week. So there's the potential, Matt. They're just getting their brains beat in every single week as you look at that schedule. If you're watching with us, at the Chargers, Seahawks, Niners, you're at the Giants. Okay, winnable, but you're still on the road across country. Lions, Rams, Broncos, Cowboys, Seahawks, Rams, Chiefs, Commanders, Eagles. I know they probably will win a game in the first 13 weeks, but it is hard. They're going to be an underdog of a touchdown or more. They are an underdog of a touchdown or more in every single one of those games before their bye week, before they host the Jets in week 15.
Right. The Cardinals could pull an upset. It's the NFL. We see it happen all the time. But when you look at that schedule, it's very difficult to find where those five wins are going to come from. The win total, by the way, has dropped to 3.5 in a lot of books.
Yeah. Juiced to the under, 4.5. DraftKings right now, $1.86 to the under. Hall of Fame game tonight. So NFL, college football on our minds. Todd Furman will join us next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Newman, I'm Tim Murray, half hour away from the start of the NFL preseason, the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, the Arizona Cardinals and the Carolina Panthers. Larry Fitzgerald and Luke Kuechly will both be enshrined this weekend up in Canton, Ohio. Total right now sitting between 33.5 to 34.5 through the key of 35. Yesterday, total sits at 1 or 1.5. Let's head to our progressive guest line. Welcome in a gentleman who is chomping at the bit, I'm sure, to bet on tonight's game. It is Todd Furman, CBS Sports HQ, and he joins us courtesy of that progressive guest line. Todd, from a market standpoint, what have you seen market-wide on this game, and any interest to get involved tonight?
Well, first things first, I've never felt older than when you see Adam Vinatieri going in as part of this class. Since I was in New England for school when he was kicking field goals for the Patriots. So we all come to grips with being on the wrong side of 40, at least at some point. And in terms of the handicap tonight, guys, I don't have a position on the game. I can understand why we saw a little bit of under money coming in, working under the assumption that it's going to be Haynes King for the majority of the game under center for Carolina. And you'd have to expect that Keaton Slovis is going to eat up the majority of reps in the second half. half before we factor in Mike LaFleur coming from the Sean McVay coaching tree. And as anybody who's bet the preseason knows, the Rams and company don't really place a whole lot of emphasis here. So the under move makes a world of sense. If I had to pick a side here, would be inclined to back Carolina. I know the number is leaking out. May look for a live opportunity if Arizona were to score on their opening drive and could grab Carolina plus the six or better. One thing to keep in mind, and I know you guys will preach this to your audience over the next couple of weeks, the difference between pick 'em 1 and 1.5 of massive importance during the preseason, given how unorthodox some of the play calling is around two-point conversions and the way these teams approach late-game situations, doing everything they can to avoid overtime during the exhibition season.
That's actually a great point. Talk about that every year. You get a lot of preseason games that land on 1, 2, and it's not the typical 3 being the key number in the preseason. Todd, what else would you say are points of emphasis for bettors when you approach the preseason? The smartest way to approach betting these games in August?
It's the one time of year, Matt, where I actually will pay a lot more attention if I'm watching these games live, actually listening to the endless banter from some of the regional broadcasts, because when they're interviewing coaches and players on the sidelines, you know, we know how fast these numbers move on open, and you may have an opportunity to enter the market live when you get the glimpse of, hey, the expectation was the starters were going to play the first 15 to 20 plays. You may get the head coach saying, well, we weren't happy with the performance. We're going to give them an extra drive or two. So market entry is extremely important, as we know, during the regular season, but even more so if you can gain a little bit of a competitive advantage during preseason games when you're getting a little bit more transparency from the coaching interviews, talking to players and everything else. And while I'm not going to paint this with a broad stroke, this is probably the one time a year where it's okay to a certain extent to chase a little bit of that line movement that's out there. If you see some of these games move from 3 to 4 to 4.5 and you're still in full agreement of why that number is moving, not unusual to see some of these prices move 5, 6, 7 points. Don't take the worst of it, but if you're not getting the best of it, even if it's around a perceived key of 3 or 4 and secondary markets, you could probably do a lot worse than chasing some of the early money that comes in on preseason games.
You know what? You brought up a point there that I was about to ask you about, so you referenced it a little bit. You worked in sports books in the past. What's the most you've seen a number move in the NFL preseason? I was going to say somewhere around maybe 7 or 8 points. Does that sound about right?
Yep, and we saw last year, I don't remember the team they were playing, but I want to say it was the Cincinnati Bengals involved in a game, and maybe it was the Washington Commanders, if memory serves me correct, where we saw a game move 7.5 to 8 points. And it feels like now in the social media age, compared to the Stone Ages when you didn't have mobile apps when I was behind the counter, guys, that the games move that much faster, whether it's groups with influence or people that see some of this breaking news and just want to continue laying prices, that if you're going to wait some of these games out, you can oftentimes get great middle opportunities available, even if you're laying, you know, 1 to 2 points worst of it at the top, and you're looking to try and take 7.5, 8 points back. It's a dangerous proposition to lay big numbers with a lot of the UPS and FedEx drivers that we'll see in high leverage situations in the fourth quarter.
But you're going to see a lot of steam on these NFL preseason games in August, and a lot of times the steam is right. Todd Furman here with us. And Todd, Haynes King, the last point here before we talk some college football. And you got to look for this in a lot of preseason games, especially week 1, week 2. Haynes King is the type of player who could be a difference maker tonight, right? A mobile quarterback. When you got backup offensive linemen, backup running backs, receivers, you need a quarterback who can get outside the pocket and make plays. Haynes King might be the difference maker in the handicap tonight.
You nailed it, Matt. It's the inconsistency that you see from the offensive lines and the skill position players that almost at the snap of the ball in the third and fourth quarters of a lot of these games early on, you're going to see quarterbacks that are under duress. And a quarterback that's got mobility and an opportunity to turn a scramble into a big play, it's hard to quantify that in your handicap, but you're always going to gravitate towards some of those depth quarterbacks playing behind makeshift offensive lines that can be a legitimate threat when they're running the football. So Haynes King fits that bill perfectly. And he's a guy going to do everything he can to try and earn that third spot and make sure that he is fully on the roster for Carolina, knowing that it's going to be Bryce Young as their 1, Kenny Pickett as the 2. Let's see if Haynes King can survive, knowing that he wasn't the most durable quarterback during his time at Georgia Tech, but he always played with a ton of heart, and even with busted shoulders, he wasn't afraid to drop his head and take on a tackler.
Todd Furman joining us, courtesy of our Progressive guest line, CBS Sports HQ. Follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. So as Matt mentioned, we could turn our attention, talk a little college football here as we're 23 days away from the start of the college football season, Todd. You know, a lot is made about the top seven teams, whatever order you want to make. I'll ask you the question I've asked a lot of people. Outside of those top seven, which in any order it's Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Notre Dame, Indiana, Oregon, and Miami, do you think there's anyone outside of that top seven that has a legitimate shot to win the title this year based off of your power ratings?
It's hard to see it right now, Tim, but it's also so much different now as we approach college football in the 12-team playoff era that you're going to get some of these numbers that are inevitably going to drift around teams that we think have a legitimate chance to win a national championship because they may lose a game early in the year. And while that probably doesn't apply to your beloved Irish or Miami, whose schedules are extremely favorable on paper, if you get a team like Texas or Ohio State, I'm interested to see how their numbers change based on who loses that game on Saturday, September 12th. And a similar thought process for me applies to the Heisman Trophy market. Guys, this is probably the thinnest Heisman card that I've built preseason in probably the last 5 to 7 years. Have one ticket on Keelan Russell at Alabama, and I'm not even sure he's going to win the starting job out of camp. But I don't want to try and tie up my money on some of these favorites, at least early on, because as these prices continue to move, you also have to anticipate the schedule. And maybe Arch is the guy that if Texas goes out there and wins convincingly against Ohio State, you're never going to get a better number on seven. So I can see advocating there. But CJ Carr, I don't think he plays a team that's got a pulse until we get to the month of October. So how much shorter is his number going to get as one of the prohibitive favorites going in? I feel like you're going to get a good indication of where he's at, and maybe even bet him at 4.5 or 5 to 1 instead of taking 7 to 1 until you see some of the other dominoes start to fall around him.
Well, you got one more Heisman bet than I do. I've got zero. I mean, there's 20, 25 quality quarterbacks out there. Todd, how about this? A lot of people don't know this, forgot this. Last year at this time, the ESPN FPI, highly respected ESPN FPI, did not have Indiana in the top 25. Phil Steele had Indiana ranked 20th, and he had Indiana's quarterback position ranked 26th. We're just not going to see something like that this year, are we?
I don't think so. I mean, I have plenty of Clemson tickets at good numbers going into last year that I'm happy to sell you guys for pennies on the dollar. I saw 40 to 1 was going to be phenomenal when they went off around 10 to 1 and realized after a couple of games that that was going in the trash. But I think we're going to be hard pressed to find a team that far down the board like Indiana or a price tag like we saw in Fernando Mendoza when he won the Heisman Trophy. I think that the blueprint is out for odds makers. When they're setting prices on the Heisman market, it's taking those elite quarterbacks, playing for good teams, keeping their numbers short, and forcing bettors to kind of tip their hand. One player, though, that did catch my eye, guys, and I haven't bet him myself, but I'm intrigued by it as a skill position player. So much talk around Texas and Arch. Cam Coleman at 125 to 1. How quickly we forget that he was almost talked about in the same breath as Jeremiah Smith when he came in. He's finally going to have a quarterback that can throw a forward pass at Texas, unlike he's had at Auburn. I just wonder what kind of stat line he'd have to put up to take the hardware ahead of a known name commodity in Arch Manning.
Todd, before I let you run, we got about 45 seconds. Florida State, a look at their schedule. It's pretty ruthless this year with a game against Alabama, game against Florida, top seven teams based off of the odds. Win total still out there at 6.5, heavily juiced under. Does Florida State and Mike Norvell get the 7 wins?
I mean, I'm in the groupthink, so it probably means Florida State wins 9 games and I can rip up my under 6.5 ticket at minus $1.50 or better, but I'm on board there. But guys, I'll bring it full circle. We talked about Haynes King and what he did at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, the strongest win total position I have under at 6.5, widely available still at minus -50. They lost a lot, not just a quarterback, but an offensive coordinator, Buster Faulkner, Blake Gideon, D.C. Georgia Tech under. I don't think the Ramblin' Wreck get bowl eligible.
Todd, always appreciate it, man. Great stuff.
You got it, boys. Enjoy the game tonight.
There he is, Todd Furman, Georgia Tech. They won't be rambling down there in the ATL. That's Matt Newman's. I'm Tim Murray. 20 minutes away from kickoff. Football tonight. Panthers, Cardinals.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Newman's, I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Primetime as we are in the third inning in Boston, scoreless between the White Sox and the Red Sox. The Red Sox what is it, 25-3 in their last 28 games, 33-8 over the last 41 games, 7-game winning streak, and right now scoreless between the Chicago White Sox in Boston. If you want to jump in on that game, Red Sox minus $1.51 at DraftKings, White Sox plus 131. Other games going on, not a big night, I should say, of Major League Baseball action, as we do have the Hall of Fame game, which we'll get some thoughts on here momentarily. 6-2 the score, the Phillies all over the Nationals, massive favorites in that one as they are in the fifth inning, scoreless between the Marlins and the Braves. Braves minus 210 in that contest against the Marlins. Still to come tonight, Matt, Padres and Diamondbacks. Walker Buehler on the hill for the Padres. That game is a pick'em between San Diego and Arizona.
Going back to last year's Hall of Fame game, the Browns beat the Jets 21. Actually, that was a 2023 game. Last year's game was the Lions losing. You remember some of the perceptions we had of the Lions? I talked about the Lions being a regression candidate a lot last summer. And then the way you never want to make too much of what you see in a preseason game or especially the Hall of Fame game. But you remember how sloppy the Lions were?
Yep.
In that game, we said, is this going to be a sign of what's to come for them this season? The Chargers won that game last season 34-7. And I didn't like the Lions last summer. I definitely thought that team was going to regress. And you watch the Hall of Fame game, and it just sort of reinforces your opinion on this is not going to be the year of the Lions. I think the Lions are going to bounce back and have a much better year here in 2026. But that was a rare case where something you saw in the Hall of Fame game actually mattered, I thought, in your handicap of the Lions. If you felt like you wanted to fade that team and you watched them get blown out 34-7 in the Hall of Fame game, I think there was something to it. And that was kind of a precursor to what happened for the Lions season. It just fell apart.
Now, you did see an over last year in that Hall of Fame game, 34-7, as you alluded to, Matt. So the total did go over. And yeah, tonight could be an interesting one. Todd Furman echoing what he just said a little while ago, said, you know, I think for this game, take a look at if there are live opportunities out there to get involved, whether it be Arizona live, if Carolina goes down and scores early here. So certainly something to keep a close eye on. And possibilities from a live bet.
Overs have hit four in a row in the Hall of Fame game. Now, not really high-scoring games. And, in fact, the Chargers had that scoring surge to put it over the total last year. Prior to that, the Bears beat the Texans 21-17, 38 total points. Browns beat the Jets 21-16, 37 total points. And Raiders beat the Jags 27-11, so 38 points in that game. But previous to that, unders we're on a 7-2 run here in the Hall of Fame game. So Steve Mackinnon's got a bunch of trends up. How about this? The Boston Red Sox are behind. White Sox get a 2-run homer. And, you know, I will say the Red Sox have been great from coming from behind. Prior to yesterday, I believe, when they won by shutout, Sonny Gray had that strong start. The Red Sox came from behind in 6 consecutive wins. They're going to have to do that again tonight.
Was thinking just full on contrarian. Maybe you go against against the Red Sox here tonight. We'll see as this all plays out.
Now I think is a point two. Do you look at possibly a Red Sox live bet?
Yeah, I mean right now
I'm going to pass on this game tonight. But Red Sox went off as big favorites. We're talking about minus 185. You can get them right now at plus 151.
Total up to 7.5 after that home run. Juice to the over at minus 135. So Panthers, Cardinals coming up top of the hour. I'm sure that game will start probably shortly after the top of the hour. Can't imagine it's going to start right at 8:00 Eastern. Matt, we should take bets on when the game will actually start. Unlike the World Cup, we can...
what do you think, 5:20?
I put that, yeah. You're probably more onto it because the coverage will probably start at around 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. I put down 8:12 Eastern. You're probably more right on that.
Who knows? You know, there's always a lot of pregame nonsense that goes on before something like this tonight, so it's not going to get going right away. But, yeah, I do think, you know, I was out there in the book before the show, and you feel like there's a little bit more electricity in the air tonight because it feels like football season's back. And we got more bodies in the sports book tonight, too. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Matt, you know, you mentioned the Cardinals. Any thoughts on the Panthers or the NFC South heading into this year? What a funky finish to last year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Remember, got off to that great start. Baker Mayfield being talked about as a legitimate MVP candidate. He gets banged up all which ways, and they fall off a cliff. Then on the last weekend of the season, the Buccaneers beat the Panthers, but they needed help on Sunday. They did not get said help, and the Panthers end up going to the playoffs 8-9, winning the NFC South. So as you look at the NFC South, Matt, any interest this year in that division, or what do you make of the Panthers here?
Yeah, this is one of the bets I've got. I've got a division bet here on the Falcons plus 425. I just felt like the price is way off because I think these teams are really bunched at the top like they were at the end of last season. It was a hound's breakfast. Panthers 8-9, Bucks 8-9, Falcons 8-9, and then you had the Saints at 6-11. A lot of people think the Saints are going to be a team on the rise. Well, I know this. The Falcons at plus 425, I think we're mispriced. You can't have, I don't see in this division how you can have a plus 170 favorite and have a team like the Falcons, who arguably have the most offensive talent of any team in the division, at plus 425. So I bet this mostly based on the price, but also because I like Kevin Stefanski. I don't love him. I think he's a little bit overrated, but he's taking over for probably the worst coaching staff in the NFL, or close to it. One of the worst coaching staffs in the NFL. And Stefanski's got to prove to be a big upgrade here for the Falcons. And they were 8-9 even with an incompetent coach last year. They had to win their final four to get to 8-9. But why can't the Falcons win this division, Tim? I don't want to put my fate in the hands of Tua at quarterback. I would prefer to see Michael Penix take charge and really win that job and take control of the team. But either way, you got Bijan Robinson, one of the premier running backs in the league, and you got plenty of offensive talent there. I really believe the Falcons have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. They were held back. They were handcuffed by an incompetent coaching staff the last couple of years. Unfortunately, they suffered a very costly injury already before we could even – Jalen Walker, edge rusher, out for the year, injured in practice 2 days ago.
Yeah, that is a huge blow, no doubt, for the Atlanta Falcons. Do have just a couple of elite playmakers in Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, as you mentioned, Matt. And I know you're a big Tommy Rees fan. Offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees.
I like Tommy as as an OC.
Yeah.
If he were playing quarterback for the Falcons, I probably wouldn't bet them to win the division. But as offensive coordinator, he can get it done. Tommy Rees is going to be a head coach in the NFL soon.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, the perception of Tommy Rees is Notre Dame fans think he stunk as an offensive coordinator. Alabama fans thought he stunk as an offensive coordinator. Magically, he keeps getting really good jobs, and I don't think it's a situation where he's some moron. So yeah, he is the OC, Kevin Stefanski down there in Atlanta. And look, that division, total crapshoot, feels wide open heading into this upcoming year, and not a bad look to take a piece of the Atlanta Falcons to win that division.
Right.
So
that price has come down a little bit at DraftKings. I believe it's 4-1 now. It was plus 425 for about a month and a half. It just sat out there, and I really was surprised it didn't move much. Tim, these four teams in this NFC South are about as even as it gets. And then, like I mentioned last year, you had three teams at 8-9 and one at 6-11. And the team that finished 6-11 is a team that a lot of sharp handicappers think is going to make a big move, the Saints.
Yeah, the Saints played their best football down the stretch. And now, how much do you believe in Tyler Shuck? Had some good moments last year, but now he's the full-on guy. Do you believe in him to hand over the keys, if you will? Matt, you mentioned there's a lot of people here in the sports book, and if you're coming to town, you want to sign up for Circa Survivor, Circa Millions, Circa Grandissimo. If you want to go over to the Westgate Super Contest, they got the College Football Contest as well. Winner Circle Proxy is VSIN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they'll handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere. One trip to Vegas, play all season long. Schedule your appointment now, winnercircleproxy.com. And Matt, we've been talking about it. They've been busy this week. I was actually talking to Winner's Circle Proxy before the show. They are very busy. Had a busy day. Had a couple of Grandissimo signups today.
Hey, you got competitive proxy services out there, right? You got, they're dressed in their own uniforms. It's kind of like the Crips and the Bloods.
Yeah, you don't want to see them in the parking lot. Matt, we've got football starting in, we'll see, 10, 15, 20 minutes. But thankfully for us, we can continue the NFL talk with Drew Dinsick in studio next.